From the heart of the Gator Nation, Gainesville, Florida, this is Under the Radar.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Under the Radar with Travis McLeod. This is a new record for me, 2 episodes in 1 year. And I have a special guest on the show tonight. My wife, Stephanie, is going to help me tell you about this album that I made. So,
hello, friends. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. A little bit about this album. This was recorded or finished in 2004. I believe it was written probably between 2002 and 2004, and finally finished recording it in 2004. And it is the last solo thing that I recorded, or that I released. I recorded a few solo things back when I was in Bowtie Killer that I'm probably going to release on my new album, if that ever comes out. But this was the most current thing that I have released, which is 16 years old somehow. So, anyways, I guess we'll start out by playing this first song, and this song is called Avoiding the Future. So here it goes.
Have you ever thought about the way it used to be? And did it make you sad to know it's finality? Like, oh,
All right, so that was Avoiding the Future. I have a different perspective than my wife on that song. I think this might be the first time she's ever heard it. So let's see.
Now, first of all, it's not the first time I've ever heard it. I have heard this album before, but I am curious as to, like, what was your motivation for that? Because I noticed that you switch in the song from Avoiding the Future to Longing for the Future.
Yeah, so I guess the whole inspiration for that song is that, I don't know, I think people could probably relate to this, but I've, a lot of times in my life, I don't really like change that much. Sometimes change is good. Sometimes you sort of feel like everything's the way you want it to be, and you just want to keep things the way they are, but it's impossible. So I don't know. It's like people seem to remember the past fondly, or like they don't want things to change, so you like avoid it. And then it's kind of like, well, sometimes you want things to change. Sometimes things in your life are not good and you're not in a good place, and you're like, I just can't wait till I'm past this in the future. Maybe it'll be better. I want to get that. And then at the end, it's just like, well, you just kind of, things that you can't really control what happens in your life. So you kind of just have to live your life and live in the moment to a certain extent, or else you might, you know, just spend your entire life focused on the past and not with what's currently happening.
Interesting perspective.
Yeah.
It's especially interesting since you wrote that song when you were like 18.
I wrote some good ones back then. It's been a dry spell for the last, like, you know, 20 years. But I had a lot to say back then. And
why do you think you don't have anything to say now?
I don't know. I feel like I'm starting to get a little more inspiration. And if I can actually take some time and focus it, I think I'm going to have a pretty good body of work coming up. But I've been saying that for a long time now, so I don't want to make any promises, because I always say something cool is going to happen, and then, you know, then I'll be making a podcast 10 years after that, like, hey, that album's still coming. Get ready. Hmm. So, I don't know. Stay tuned, I guess. Anything else you want to add to that?
Nope.
Nope. Oh, I guess I will add something for the, first of all, nobody's probably listening to this. But if you are listening to this and you're a musician and you want to know more about how the album was, the production side of things, this was back when I was still kind of learning about how to record things. And I don't know if you'd really say I learned much, because I'm still not very good at it. But I had a Roland VS880 8-track digital recorder that I was using at the time, which was a step up from my 4-track Fostex cassette recorder that I used before that. I used the same drum set as I did on all my other albums. That guitar, I believe, was an Epiphone Casino that I used to have, which I don't have anymore, but was really nice, and I miss it. And my Squier Precision Bass. Oh, and the condenser microphone that I'm using right now for this podcast was the first condenser microphone I bought in an effort to try to improve the sound of my vocals in my recordings. So, anyways, this next song is called Between Love and Hate. And here it goes.
Thank you.
That was Between Love and Hate. I don't think so, but we'll see. Hopefully you can hear this. I don't know. I was just talking, but I think my track might have still been muted. At which case, if it was, I'm probably going to cut this part out, so you won't hear it anyway. Anyway, that song was called Between Love and Hate.
So what made you title such like a beautiful song, such a strong title?
Well, so I get, sometimes I get very passionate about things, and you know, like I get angry about things, and then I think about it, and I'm like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be that angry about a lot of things that I can't really control, or like...
Yes, yes, you do. Okay, keep going.
And so I think, you know, there's a place between love and hate that you should try to get to. And believe it or not, not the entire inspiration for that song, but part of the inspiration for that song actually had during the one and only time that I went to see a Justin Timberlake concert. And it was one of those times where I was in the crowd with presumably several Justin Timberlake loving people, my wife being one of them.
Oh, here it goes. Justin Manifesto.
And I'm not really a big fan of that type of music. And honestly, I just kind of feel like a lot of the groups and people that have been successful with that sort of thing maybe aren't that deserving of it. Or at least I did back then. I don't know. I guess I have more things to worry about now. But at the time, I was just like, I just don't understand why this is popular. Why do people like this? Why is he successful? Why is this even a thing? And then the more I thought about it, it was just kind of like, you know what? Why do I care this much? Whatever, man. If you're doing great at what you're doing, good for you. Good for you that you've made it this far, that, you know, you've had this much success. Like, maybe I should just try to be happy for people instead of hating on them or whatever.
And now he's the biggest Justin Timberlake supporter that you will ever find. He loves him. He loves his music. He loves his movies. And he loves to tell me that he's better than JC. And he's not.
I'm just saying. How many of you have bought a solo JC Chazé record? Versus how many of you have bought a solo Justin Timberlake record? Just a question. But anyway, that's sort of the idea for that song. It's just kind of like, you know, sometimes you get mad about things. And
so it's a love song to Justin Timberlake.
No, it's just like you should, in general, just try not to let things like that you can't really control upset you so much. And I'm not always that great about taking my own advice, but that was the inspiration behind that song. It was recorded in South Carolina at my house, or my parents' house. My Uncle Gordon was visiting at the time, and he brought with him a very nice acoustic guitar that he had. It was a Martin guitar. And the acoustic guitar portion of that song is actually just kind of a scratch track that he... he was helping me record to kind of teach me a little more about recording, and that was just an example. But I liked it because it sounded good, and I was like, I'm not going to have access to a really nice guitar like that again, so I should use what I have of it. And that's actually why, in the end, it finishes with the Casino, the electric guitar, because the acoustic guitar track, I didn't record the whole song. I just did a little bit as an example. So there's a little secret, if you're wondering. So anyway.
And while at the time you didn't have lots of fancy guitars, now you do, because your very loving, giving wife buys you very expensive guitars.
Yes, I recently got a PRS Custom 24 for my birthday. It's very nice, and I can't play it as well as Wes Borland does, but it still looks great, and I'm glad that I have it. All right, well, this next song is the title track of this album, Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings, which is my fifth and most current album. So I'll play that and talk about it when it's done. Did that. Anyways, that was called Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings. That's the title track from this album. And it was recorded in like 02 or 03, somewhere around that time period. It was written, I think I had moved out on my own for the first time. And I wrote that song. And it was really just about kind of, you know, being alone and trying real hard to make your way. And, you know, you just need someone to kind of help you out, and it doesn't happen. And, you know, it's like they could have helped you out, but they didn't. And, you know, I don't know, just... I kind of turned it into, like, a fictional story, because I realized that, like, two pieces of a broken heart kind of looked like a set of wings, and it's sort of like turning a negative into a positive. So it's like if somebody got hurt so bad that their heart broke and they died, but they took their broken heart and turned it into a set of wings and became an angel. And I called the album Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings, kind of in the same vein, kind of in the same way that, like, the Beatles had Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It's like a fictional thing. Not that I ever would want to compare myself to the Beatles, because that's pretty obvious. Why not? But anyway, that was the kind of the backstory of that song. Another thing I thought of while that song was playing was you can kind of hear my a little bit of my laziness in recording, where there was a few dead notes and a few, you know, missed timings and whatnot. And in the previous song, the tempo speeds up a little bit, and I think sometimes I have a tendency to just be like, well, this is close enough, I'm just going to go with it. I don't want to do 20 more takes of this song. I don't care. Which I guess can be good and bad. But anyways, that's it for me. You got any reactions?
I guess I thought that you had said that this song, or maybe the album inspiration, was like kind of a tribute to your grandmother.
Yeah, it was in a way. It can have several meanings. My grandmother died not too long before this song came about, so I wanted to dedicate something to her. The lyrics don't always match up to that, but the concept behind it does. So,
very good.
All right. Well, moving on. The next one is called Destined to Be Alone. And I'll tell you all about it when it's done.
I'm
All right, that was Destined to Be Alone. I'm kind of curious to hear your reaction first before I tell the story there.
Well, first of all, I was singing along with the track, so your whole theory of that I don't know your music is void. But I like it. I think it's a fun song. It's very 2004. I've noticed that a lot of your songs on this album seem to have to do with being alone and being lonely, and that's an interesting theme.
Yeah, alright, so.
And now you're never alone. Because there's always somebody bothering you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so. I just thought that was interesting because my wife says I don't write songs about her. That song was actually inspired by her. That was written after I had moved out on my own, and I moved away to be with her, and it was tough to do it because I moved back to South Florida, and it's expensive to live in South Florida. And I had to work all the time to be able to afford it. And it just kind of felt like I was alone a lot, you know, because all of my friends were, like, I was at work when they weren't and vice versa. And I felt like all I ever did was just work and then kind of hang out by myself at home. And I just thought, you know, nothing. And then, you know, a lot of times we would have fights and stuff, and I'm just like, well, you know, nothing's ever going to work out the way I want it to work out. So I'm just destined to be alone, I guess. I recorded that back then, as I recorded all of these in the past, obviously. So, anyways, this next song is also inspired by her. See if she remembers it. Like I said, I was working on my recording techniques. As you can tell, that's the second fancy fade out in a row.
Yes, I appreciate the fade out.
Super awesome production techniques right there. So that is kind of the same theme where trying to remember the timeline of that song. This might have been after I had moved back home. Home being where my parents lived, but in South Carolina, which was not my home state. But I'm, you know, both times that I lived there, for most of the time, you didn't live there. Mm-hmm. So we had a long distance relationship, which is difficult if nobody has done it before, or, you know, if you can't relate to that, it's difficult. And a lot of the times we would have these phone calls where you would just call me and start a fight and then be like, I gotta go by. And then I would just have to deal with that the whole rest of the day. And it was really messed up.
I don't think that's accurate.
It's totally accurate.
I think probably what happened was you did something to upset me.
That's not true.
Not you, because you're perfect, right?
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember.
But anyway, basically, it's just about, like, you know, I'm tired of fighting. I want things to be good. I want to be happy. I want you to be happy. You know, like, hopefully we'll get past this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, here comes this next song.
Which, obviously, we did.
Yes. It worked out in the end. This next song is called I Smell Bad. And, pretty self-explanatory. But here it goes.
Well, that was quite the stylistic choice there.
Yes. So that song was actually, I wrote it really quick, because you can probably tell. I was waiting to go into English class one day, and I thought somebody was kind of looking at me and, you know, kind of snickering to themselves or their friends. It probably wasn't what was actually happening. But when I was younger, I didn't shower as much as I do now. I was a dirty rock and roller. And
that was before me, because I encouraged the showering.
Yeah. But, you know, anyways, I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't really care. Like, it doesn't bother me if people make fun of me for having greasy hair or you know, not shaving or not wearing preppy clothes or whatever. And I'm like, I'll make fun of myself with you. I smell bad. I look worse. I don't care what you think. And the line about the dandruff is completely true. I have crazy dandruff no matter what I do. I've tried every kind of treatment that they have, and it doesn't work. So, I already know, and I don't care if you laugh about it, because I agree with you. It's ridiculous. And that's just kind of the point of this song. I'm honestly surprised that this was not the one song that was a breakthrough for me, that, you know, that it didn't somehow catapult me to superstardom. There's no justice
in
the
world. Maybe if there had been YouTube when you wrote that song.
Maybe, you know, I've often wondered about that. If we had YouTube back when I was coming up, I say coming up like I came up somewhere. I'm still in the same place that I was when I started, but... You know, who knows? Who knows what could happen? And I think about this a lot because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to, like, you know, try to sound like I think I'm super awesome and talented. But you see the kind of junk that catches on. And I'm just like, I'm not saying I'm that good. I'm just saying the things that pass for good now are so bad that by comparison, I am like the freaking Beatles. Which is saying a lot because there's so many stupid things that catch on now. And it's just like, I don't understand what happened to the world. How are these things popular? How are these people this successful? How are they making all this money and getting all these accolades? But that's beside the point. I guess I need to go back to that song and try to be happy for them somehow. That's what I was talking about. That's a whole other podcast I could do right there. Anyway, this next song is called Instrumental. And I believe on the album I actually had, like, capitalized mental because it was cool. I wrote this and I thought it was kind of a cool song, but I didn't have any lyrics, so I just left it the way it was. I guess I'll just tell you the story before I play it. That's about it. So here it is. Well, that was Instrumental, and it is, not surprisingly, an instrumental. I recorded that in South Carolina as well, and I borrowed the ride cymbal from my friend Ian Warmack. Hi, Ian, if you're listening. I was proud of myself for the way the drums sounded in that, because I was kind of learning some new recording techniques, and I thought they came out pretty well. But yeah, there's not really much of a backstory for that song. I just kind of came up with it and thought it sounded cool and never could write any lyrics for it that I was satisfied with. So I just left it as an instrumental.
I've noticed that a lot of the songs that you've written in the recent years, you play me these really beautiful songs, and they're all kind of just instrumentals, and you say you don't have any words for them. So I guess that's the way that you write songs then? You write the music, and then you write the lyrics?
Yeah, most of the time. I mean, sometimes it's the other way around. There's really no, like, formula for it, but it's just kind of like, a lot of the times you'll come up with something, and then you write some words, and you say, oh, that might go well with this, and you mash them up, and eventually you come up with a song, so.
Can we pause for just a second?
So anyway, that's it. This next song is called Just Being Friends, and we'll play it now. Just being friends. Thoughts? Reactions?
I like it. It's good.
Yet another song that was inspired by you that I don't ever write songs about.
Okay, you don't write me love songs. These songs make me seem like a horrible person. And I'm not, by the way. Is that why you had me on? Because you wanted to, like, roast me?
No, I just thought you might want to come hang out. What else are you doing? We're in quarantine, much like everyone else. Anyway, that song I wrote, we were long distance again at the time, and we were always fighting on the phone. I was tired of it. So, also, that's another connection to my friend Ian. The first time I kind of played that song, it was at his house on his Gibson SG, which I had never played a Gibson SG before. It was pretty cool. So, I didn't record it with it, but that's where I first wrote it. Anyways, here's another song about you that from the songs that I don't write about you.
Great.
Just for the record, people, there are songs about her. She likes to complain that they're not, but here's another one. So here it goes. This is called Just Like Me.
Thank you.
Just Like Me. A lot of times when people hear that song, they tell me it sounds like Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue Something. And they're right. It does sound like that. But, I don't know. It's one of those songs that you just start writing and maybe you realize it sounds like another song, but it's just different enough. And then I'm like, screw it. I'm too far into it now. It's happening. Which, by the way, that Between Love and Hate song, I noticed many years later that it kind of sounds a lot like that song Last Kiss by the Cavaliers that Pearl Jam covered. But there's another situation where I'm like, I don't care, I like it, it sounds good, it's different enough, whatever. Nobody's going to hear it anyways. So that's another song about kind of being alone and trying to make things work, and every day there's a fight, and every day you're going to break up and just being tired of it and saying, well, you know, I tried and make it not happen, but if that's the way it's going to be, it's the way it's going to be. What else am I going to do? So.
Okay.
So that's...
That's Savage.
That's that song. All right. Well, anything else you want to say about that?
I just want to say that it's 2020, and obviously I'm not that bad because you married me. Yeah. But you married me, we had two kids, and I almost died, and I still don't get a love song?
You do, by the way. I posted a love song that I wrote you 8 years ago that okay. Everybody likes. You didn't even know existed.
I did know it existed, but what does a girl gotta do to get, like, nice songs written about her? These are all, like, how horrible I am. I'm not horrible. Obviously not, because you married me.
All right, you got me there. All right, well, anyways, now that that's over, this next song is called Living for Myself. And I like this song. I'm kind of proud of the musicianship in it, especially the drumming. So here it is.
And if it never comes to pass, I know that I'll move on.
Cause I don't need your fortune, babe. I know that I'll be strong. Yeah, I know I'll be strong.
Have it, living for myself. Kind of going back to my pop punk roots there. I used to really write some pop punk songs. Can't really hear the drums that well in the mix. I don't know, whatever that guy that mixed that song must have done it wrong. I don't know. My wife's glaring at me right now because I would just like to say in my defense, these songs, this album came out 16 years ago, so it's not like I wrote it now. Lighten up a little bit. Also, I've learned tonight, apparently I write way better when I have something negative to say. So if I have something positive to say, it'll probably eventually make it into a song. But if you do something bad to me, just be ready, because that's what's going to be written about. Thoughts on this last song that didn't have anything to do with you?
I like the music. That's good.
Thank you. Yeah, the message of that song is basically just kind of like, sometimes you got to just do what you got to do. You got to not really worry about what other people think or what they want you to do or what makes them happy. And just do what makes you happy. That's it. This next song is probably one of the best songs that I've ever written, I think. And
it's a classic.
Yes. It's kind of short, but I think you'll like it. So I'll just play it now, and then I'll talk about it.
Monkey!
That song is called Monkey. And, I had a dream one time, and it was weird. Like, I was on Gilligan's Island, and for some reason, there was, like, a monkey that was in charge of them. And so, they had this big ceremony, and when they introduced the monkey, they played that song. And they all said it together, like, here's the monkey! And it was, like, a golden statue of the monkey and everything. It was great.
Olivia would love that story. She loves Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, I've recently shown my daughter Gilligan's Island, and she likes it. If you haven't ever seen Gilligan's Island, you should watch it, because it's an amazing show. And it's probably better than, like, 99% of the shows, even now, that are out there. So, just so you know, Gilligan's Island is where it's at. This next song is... It's also one of those songs that you later on realize that it sounds like another song, but then you're like, whatever, it's too late, I already recorded it, I'm keeping it. So this song is called What If I Just Don't Care? That song is called What If I Just Don't Care? Do you know what song I was talking about that it also sounds like?
No.
I found this out later on. It's kind of funny. But it kind of sounds like Lucky by Britney Spears.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It does if you think about it. I actually played that song at a show one time, and I sang Lucky at the beginning of it, and I said it was dedicated to my wife, but she wasn't there to hear it.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so.
So glad you told that story.
Yeah. I have a video of it. She watched it later. It was okay. I would just like to say, in my defense of these songs that you're angry about now, I think if there's one overarching theme, it was that we were having trouble in our relationship and I didn't like it. And it affected me so much that I wrote songs about it.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's actually like a nice, it's a nice thing if you think about it.
I just want a love song, like Perfect by Ed Sheeran, All of Me by John Legend. Like, those are the kinds of songs.
Don't you want a good love song,
though? Those are fantastic love songs. I want you to write a song about how much you love me. How you can't eat, can't sleep, can't breathe, because I am so amazing.
Some of these songs say that, just in a different way.
It's like, ooh, I don't care that I'm ugly, which you're not. And, by the way, he always used to stand for, oh, I'm always going to wear, like, grungy t-shirts and JNCO shorts. And now he wears collared shirts all the time.
I still wear JNCO shorts. I got yelled at for buying JNCOs.
Yeah, because it's a waste of money.
It's because I have to wear those kind of clothes to work. It's the man. The man's keeping me down.
Yeah, but you look hot in those clothes.
I still wear grungy shirts and JNCOs on the weekends. So.
But he doesn't wear the grungy shirts for 5 days in a row.
Yeah, it's a little different.
I don't allow that.
A little different now. But well, anyways, that was Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings in its entirety.
What's your favorite song?
From this album?
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a favorite one. There's a few that are pretty good. I think Destined to Be Alone is pretty good.
If you had, like, if you could go back and re-record, like, one.
Well.
To make it.
So I have a compilation album coming up, kind of, where I'm taking 12, as I've been saying throughout this series, if you've been keeping up, I'm hoping to eventually get this released sometime before I die. 12 songs out of this whole collection of albums I have to just redo in, like, really great stereo. Not stereo, studio sound quality. And from this album, Broken Hearted and the Angel's Wings and Destined to Be Alone made the cut. I think that might be the only ones off of this album that I selected. So okay. I guess those two.
So you would say those are your, like, top two from this record?
Yeah, probably. But anyway, this was the last in the series, which is nice because I can finish it off and start talking about other things besides myself. My wife has a podcast now.
I do.
And why don't you tell them about it?
Yes. So I co-host with my good friend Steph, and we talk about all things late 90s, early 2000s. Pop music. You know, we talk about NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys, but we kind of also infuse some pop culture movies, Britney Spears, Broadway. It's just a good, fun time, and it is a really, you know, it's just fun to go back to that time in music. I think that was a really great time in music, and it's fun to get to, you know, chat with your friend every week about stuff you liked back in the day and remember all the good things that happened back then. So if you like pop music and that sounds like something you would like, it's called What's the Deal with This Pop Life? We're on all the major platforms. You can find us on Twitter at This Pop Life and on Instagram, WTD Pop Life, and Facebook, What's the Deal with This Pop Life? Well, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. That's a pretty good show if you like pop music. I'm not going to comment on if I like pop music that much or not. But
we know that you don't.
If you like it, it's good. So check it out. All right. Well, that's the end of this series. I hope you've enjoyed so far hearing all of these songs and finding out a little more information about them and Hopefully, you will continue to listen to them. Keep checking out my web pages, TravisMcLeod.com, Travis McLeod on Facebook, at Travis McLeod on Twitter, at Under the Radar PC on Twitter.
You got to get on Instagram.
Yeah, I've been reluctant to join Instagram, but
you're missing out on a big.
I believe those are all of my
platform
things. I've done a few live streams on Facebook. I'm probably going to do some more while we're all in quarantine here, so check those out. But other than that, that's about it. Hope everybody's doing well, and I'll see you in the next episode.